my life is deeply intermingled, embedded in this city. So when I decided to write autobiographical essays, then I realized that it will be deeply about the city.
That's Orhan Pamuk. Shortly before he won the Nobel Prize for Literature, he published a collection of early memoirs and named it after his hometown, Istanbul. Steve Paulson asked him how that city shaped his work.
Till the age of 22, I thought that I would be a painter. I used to paint a lot of cityscapes under the influence of French impressionists. And I was also thinking, what's this all about? And then the feeling that Baudelaire and other French writers developed the idea that the value of a landscape painting is associated with the feeling it evokes. And I ask myself, wow, maybe it's a good time to ask myself, what do I associate the Istanbul of my childhood? Then, of course, it was melancholy, or Turkish melancholy, which is hüzün.
A great city from the past, but the greatness has faded
Istanbul was an empire, city that ran empire for thousands of years. In fact, I sometimes think that I spend my childhood in a city which led a thousand year of glories. And when the glory is finished, I was born. So I lived in that city with a feeling of, wow, they were rich, but it's all gone. What is left is a ruins of Ottoman Empire and the ruins of Ottoman modernity.
One of the things that you write about in your memoir is, I mean, you say that Turks also take pride in this sense of melancholy. There's honor, there's nobility, there's beauty in it.
Okay, melancholy, Turkish melancholy is related not only to landscape, but it's also related to living next to Europe. So we had this feeling of, wow, we are so close to success of Europe, but we are living a poor life. And after a while, that if you can't change that life, you have a fatalistic understanding of your city and your civilization and your nation and life. This is also related to the common feeling that the man should have, especially that you should resign in life. Success in life is something selfish and individualistic to ask for. Don't ask questions about your personal happiness, but ask about the happiness of the community. Turkish melancholy hüzün is a communal feeling of resignation. In that sense, it can be compared to Japanese nobility of failure.
Now, do you think the sensibility of Turkish melancholy hüzün, is that still with the people of Istanbul today? I mean, most of your memoir takes place in the 1950s and 60s when you were growing up, and Istanbul was a very different city. I mean, what a city of a million people then, and now it's 14 million?
When I was born into it in 1952, Istanbul was a city of a million. When I wrote my memoirs in 2002, I think it was around 9-10 million. I am talking about my Istanbul of 50s, 60s, 70s, and the book ends 40 years ago. The Istanbul I describe, I warn my future readers, is an Istanbul of 40 years ago.
Of course, the fascination that so many people, including me, have with Istanbul is it straddles both Europe and Asia. I mean, literally. I don't know if there's another major city in the world that physically is occupying these two continents. And it raises the question of, I guess, how you see your identity. I mean, do you think of yourself as both European and Asian?
People of Istanbul never think of this. It's like going from Asia to Europe is like going from Manhattan to Brooklyn to see a friend. You don't notice it. My way of looking at things in Istanbul is how interestingly things from different sources come together, not only in daily life objects, in architecture, in landscapes, in the daily life of the people. Things come together harmoniously, gracefully, if you pay attention to that.
Now, the other thing that you've done is you actually created your own museum, the museum.
But it's not about me, man. You say your own museum.
But you did it, and it's all based on the novel you wrote, Museum of Innocence, and which I have to say is such a unique idea. I mean, to create a novel and then to build a museum that's based on what you wrote about in the novel.
I wrote a novel called Museum of Innocence, which is also a novel of love. to explore what happens to us as we fall in love. One of the things that happens to us, we get attached to things that may make us remember our beloved. My story is such that is not a very happy story, and the male character collects everything his beloved touches. At the end, the story is sad. He is left with all the objects, and he has an idea of making a museum. I wrote the novel and also collected all the objects that the lovers talk about, touch, some 2,000 objects, then put them in a museum. The idea was that the annotated museum catalog will also read like a novel, but it's also, I argue, a small city museum of Istanbul, the first, exhibiting objects of 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s of Istanbul's secular, westernized middle classes, what they wore, the newspapers they read, the films they show, things they eat. Every paper, every object, including toothbrushes, which was very hard to find.
I can imagine. Was this trying to capture a certain period of Istanbul history? Are you worried that that's going to disappear and we won't have a record of it?
I had that. We are always worried. That's where art and literature comes. When you write a novel, you're also aware of preserving, you know, how you take a taxi in Istanbul, how you wait in a line to go into a bus, how you go to a shop and do a little bargaining if you're even buying some regular thing. Novels have museum qualities, that of honoring our lives, paying attention to details of our lives, hoping that others be interested. I argue and strongly think that museums and novels have the same capacity to preserve the delights or sometimes sadness of our lives.
Hmm. Well, and from what I've heard, you went to extraordinary lengths to try to recreate the objects in your novel. I mean, for instance, you collected, what, 4,213 cigarette butts, because that is the number of cigarette butts that the heroine, who your main character has fallen in love with. You know, he wants to sort of cherish those memories. And the thing is, you can't just hang on to cigarette butts. The tobacco is going to go bad. So you have to, somehow...
I had the cigarettes, but then before we were exhibiting them, we said, someone said, tobacco will spoil. So what do? We were shocked. So we decided then we will invent a new tobacco that will stay. So we found a guy who said we produced a combination of paper and color and some chemical materials. Then we emptied the old cigarettes, then put inside artificial tobacco and also painted them with lipstick color one by one. Some of the objects in our museum are what Marcel Duchamp would say ready-mades, because I found it from a friend or in flea markets or someone lends. Some of them was hard to find, like toothbrushes, because no one preserves his old toothbrushes. Some of them are imaginary objects, such as in the novel, there is a first Turkish soda pop. So I invented that. We did the design of the bottle. We did the advertisement campaign. I am not nostalgic.
I was going to ask that, because it sort of sounds like an exercise in nostalgia.
Nostalgia is reasonable when you are happy. I was happy with my friends and childhood. It was an affluent childhood. But on the other hand, I was not happy living in a poor country where there was no prospects of future.
Are you happy with the city that Istanbul has become? I mean, now that it is this huge city of 14 million people, very modern, the economy is booming. I mean, to some degree, the old Istanbul that you've been describing is disappearing.
I think that's too much exaggeration. The city is getting rich. Lower classes are also getting to be more middle class-like. After complaining about poverty for 40 years, once you get rich, complaining is not honest for me. But then the good, interesting job of making beautiful things, paying extra attention to urban planning, architectural beauties that will signify this immense economical success are not there. This is the weak point now, and they are rightfully being criticized for it.
That's Orhan Pamuk. His collection of autobiographical essays is called Istanbul.